Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's and China's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, I really am running out of words to tell you about why you should be watching and listening to Technory. But in case you're wondering, what is Technory? Well, put simply, Technory is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured or been on stage. And to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million. That is no small number. And I am Scott Catoon. This is Technory Live. And joining me from China, courtesy of the Chicago Council of Global Affairs Scholl Fellowship, is Victor Yuan.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So I want to start by saying, well, of course, thank you for coming in here. But
my
also, last night, we had dinner last night, and Alan Matthews set that up, and we're very appreciative of him. And it was a fascinating conversation that honestly kept me up all night thinking about it. Go ahead.
But this is a good opportunity because I come here with an invitation from the council, and we have a joint public opinion polling, and we're trying to find some interesting comparative perspective about what's the difference and what's the similarity of the people from both sides that view the relationship and the interaction between the two countries and the peoples from both sides. And many people look at the two countries, will focus on the difference of the, you know, the people, the cultural difference, and the many system difference. But sometimes we do have a lot of similarity. And if we talk about the data this time, we see the people from the both countries, they wanted their own country to play a more active role in the world. But also at the same time, the majority of the both side, the general public, they want to share the leadership between Chinese and American. But that's I think it's so-called the data, but at the life level, why I say the Chinese and American are so close and so familiar, because people will say China is like a socialist or communist country, or American is like a capitalist country. But actually, I would say the difference is like the both side, the one that hold a flag. We have a flag ideologically. From American side, it's more like capitalism. China side, it was communism. But sometimes we have a similarity that we are both are very flexible and pragmatical.
Yes.
And we try to deal with a business, we deal with a problem, and we deal with opportunities in a very similar way. But think about that. Why even the Chinese government sent the largest group of the government official to study in the United States? And I said, nobody really can understand why those Communist Party officials, the government members, why they study here. And it's ideologically, we are so different, but why you can study here? And I study about not only about the economy, it's the culture, how to administrate and deal with a problem, and also about like a thinking way, communication way. So all these classes in the Kennedy School, in the Governor School of Maryland, University of Maryland, as all these universities. But interestingly, when I go back and they say, look, this is something very model. It is a modernized way how to deal with the issue and the problems. And for the young people, they know that, you know, everything, if you want to, you know, get into so-called advanced level, you need a understand that there's a new technology and new knowledge and a new information and the new way of a working way is basically what's just learned from the United States. So in the countries, even like China and Japan, we do have very good economic connections.
Yeah.
But actually, we share mostly in the traditional economy side. And only China, U.S., we not only share the traditional economy, but also all this new innovation and startup. And actually, we have a very early stage with many U.S. dollar invested internet company.
Yep.
The majority of this company listed American stock market.
Yeah.
And so at the new economy level, we also share this, the economy is basically they developed the operation in Chinese market. But actually, the investors, many investors from the U.S. So Americans are investors, and you get a return from these cases. So that basically we see those so-called interdependent relationship of the two countries. Because we have a so close the close relationships. So that's why we got more chance to study about what's a new opportunity, what's a new challenge. So that's why we can understand it better.
You know, it's funny. Two things, I guess. One, sort of ironic, is that you're here talking about tech and innovation here in Chicago, which is a, you know, obviously that's a big thing for us here in Chicago. Mm. And at the same time, the CEO of 1871, Howard Tolman, who's a big figure in our tech and startup world here in Chicago, is in China speaking.
Yeah.
So to speak to the point that you're making, that there's a lot of similarity and a lot of sort of sharing and ideation and a lot of sort of watching each other's model. I think what people maybe fail to recognize, and I actually was one of those people until recently, when there's been kind of an influx of interest from Chinese investors in Chicago in particular. Mm-hmm. And I've had a chance to speak with a handful of them. And what I learned was that we have incredible similarities. Yeah. We have incredible wishes. And we have, in my opinion, and I think you're going to agree with this, incredible common ground when it comes to some of the fears we have coming forward.
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to tech. We were talking about this offline both yesterday and today on the show, that that with social media and with the millennial and the generation change,
yeah.
That previously in our country, we held our elders on a pedestal, but not nearly like the Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was very different. And now one part that people sort of forget, and we brought up last night, is that these generations are moving so much faster.
Yes.
The modern ones now, to where it's not even about the old days of saying, like, well, you know, I used to do it this way. It's not even about that. It's simply the gap is just lightning fast.
Yeah.
And we are having a hard time hiring people and keeping them. Mm-hmm. and having people who can work across multiple age gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And use the same technology the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are also having very similar problems, from what I recall, that's, you know, how do you see the problems manifesting in China?
Mm-hmm.
And how are you guys at least either dealing with it or planning to deal with it?
Okay. This is a very good question, because we do have, people will usually pay attention to about a so-called wealth, you know, the wealth gap, the people, the rich and the yep. poor gap. But actually digital divide is even, I think, more severe.
I think it's also more, it's going to have a bigger and more dangerous impact.
Yes, because only actually half of the Chinese population are online. And the population, if they age, it's like a 60 and above, mostly they are not there. So at one family with a great parents' generation, and the kids' generation, the three generation, basically the grandparents' generation, they're not online. The parents, some, but for the kids, basically they spend most of the time online. And even for the now very young, like a 5-4 years old, the kids, they started to play the internet game, you know, at the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's problems that do existed there. The second, even exist there, but we have to move forward. And move forward at the same time, they try to figure out some way to make up the gap. So like I'm not only doing investment and doing the data service, but at the same time we developed a very good philanthropical project. So that's basically encouraging young people to find a more opportunity to provide a social service. One of a very interesting NGO project, which is initiated by the students in Beijing, they encourage the young people to help the older generation to use the internet and develop the Chinese Twitter, it's called a Weibo, mm-hmm. and also develop their own WeChat account. So the basic way is that once this older generation, they use those the internet, social media, and they change the model of social. Because a typical older generation of people, and you have five older friends, you know, then like two died, three died, five died, and finally you are remained. So that's kind of very negative mood of your feeling. But now if you have a social media and you increase your friend all the day and you have fans,
yep.
and they develop some interesting messages, you get a fans. At the US day,
feel inspirational and feel like there's still more to live for and do,
that's
and
right,
keep
that's
you more
right.
active.
And also they are developing more ways how they connect with their, you know, the younger generation. So that's, I think it's led the society to get a chance to build that new connection. But of course, that's also sometimes we still have some gap you cannot really to make up. But at least we raised the efficiency of a working and a production. So that encourages the young people that can develop the design of the new products for the older generation. And they're using new technology, new ways to provide a better service for older generation. So it's not necessarily that everybody can make up the trends, but we do find some way to that basically keep the quick development at the same time still with a tire, with a connection with people. Maybe a little bit backward, but it's you still keep that tire with them.
And we have that exact same thing here. And it's funny, again, similarities. It's funny that social impact was one of the main things that we've really, I think large organizations, I mean, all organizations, but large organizations here, and I'll speak only to Chicago, have really jumped on. Mm-hmm. Many, many of the organizations have essentially, you buy this and X percentage of the purchase goes towards, you know, building homes for the needy or rebuilding burned down homes for, you know, fires or whatever it might be, homeless drives and feeding the poor and yada, yada. And all those things really do help galvanize the younger folks that are working in those companies to feel like, you know what, my company cares about me and the community enough that I should work in order to help them continue to care for the community.
Yeah.
But the issues that I think are going to be, and we talked about this again, I keep saying last night, but, we talked about so much. It was just insane. It was just insane. Between the wine and the food and the talk, I don't even know.
And especially we talk about the gamification.
Well, that's where I'm going here. So the next part of this is, and I don't know that this is the answer per se to solve the problem, but I feel like there's an answer in this that the younger generation feels like they need every 8 months or 9 months to be promoted in some way, shape, or form. We're given some recognition that they've evolved.
Yeah.
And we are working, and I mean we are, and you are, and China and US, on different ways to create a gamified version of employment benefit, essentially.
Yeah.
So that we can, because we can't keep training these talented people who come out of university. You can't pay to train them, and then 8 months later they leave to go to your direct competitor or start something on their own because they're bored or whatever.
It's a develop kind of a mutual training. Themselves. It's not a trained by professor.
Yeah.
And I tell you, and what we're talking about gamification. The gamification, actually, in all these Ivy universities, the professors, they basically don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because they don't play a game. They're not good players. So only there's a young, I think, it's assistant professor or the young lecturers, more or less they know that. So that's why the gamification as a research area was developed in some second tier of a university in the United States.
Yeah.
In China, that's still not too much. That's basically there are some the graduate student that start to do that kind of study. So, but actually the self was developed as a very, very strong phenomena because there's so many kids that play game, and then the game itself was they shaped their value and it shaped their beauty of sense.
Yep.
And it shaped their the way it's like the bits of their life. You know, the period is different. And because they are, like, every day they play a different level of a game, and they are used to make up the new
They're
level.
They're waiting for the music to play and, like, the
quickly. So then one day, they buy the products, and all day, sometimes they want to, you know, listen to what the people talk about. They want to get some new messages, and periodically, very quickly. So sometimes I talk that to the parents, it's really challenging to the parents, also to the government leaders. Because government always, you know, saying like you read a paper and like that way, you never really heard too much innovative messages. So you cannot really make up their, you know, how to interact with the young people. Yep. And also to the business opportunity. The business opportunity means they need a more quick innovation and you know the different the project and the different products, because it's not only about a matter of a period but also a matter of a segmentation, because the segmentation that in the past like each 10 years one generation, now it's each 2 or 3 years that's a one generation. That's also the how the video the game community how to develop product for this with young people, like each 2 years that's a one generation. So does each 2 years, the kids play different games.
Yep.
So they, in that view, they see that
it becomes very complex.
Yes, of course. They are symbolically, they see themselves like I was born in 1998, or you was born in 1995. We are two generations.
Yeah.
So I want to buy something different with you. So that's why I created the more opportunity for a new startup and a new design. And then even new manufacturing and new opportunities.
So there's a couple pieces here. I don't want to get too deep into this, but it is to me is a really interesting and fascinating. And I think for some of the listeners, at least in the U.S., that are maybe of the older generation who are running some of the businesses in town, I feel like this might be valuable. So one of the last guests I had on said something that to me, in my head, I knew it, but it just to hear it was a big change. And I'm interested to see what your take is. One of the biggest reasons he said that he struggled prior to recognizing this, struggled to work with the hiring the millennials and the younger generations of people. Mm. And this is a person who's run a business for 35 years.
Yeah.
So he's been there from square one, and this is a manufacturing business. And he said, essentially, what I had to come to learn was when I grew my business all the way up until even the late 90s, early 2000s, I was the resource. And you were my other resource. I'm sorry, I said that the wrong way. You were the resources to me.
Yeah.
I hired all of you people to do this job and this job and this job, and I delegate to you.
Yeah.
And he said when we got to this newer generation, he was having a very hard time delegating and seeing the jobs get done, as he expressed, finding that the educational and learning curve was very vastly different. The education and working was vastly different. And so he had to come to realize before things got out of hand that he had to flip the script and himself become the resource and say to you, these are the things we want to accomplish as a team. Use me how you need to use me.
Yeah.
And I will make open the doors for you and you can execute. And he said ever since then, it's been smooth sailing. And I think what's going to lead to my two main points before we exit here back to you. The first one is... and we talked about Bill Finnup said this very perfectly, the CEO of MHUB last night, that the future, the education of people that people go through might take 9 years to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get there, you're essentially obsolete. And you can't get worried about it and freak out and shut down systems. You have to always be making changes and iteration right in the moment. Mm-hmm. We know that we're heading towards perhaps a major change when it comes to the digital gap. But if we shut down and quit, we both lose. If we start making changes now and start playing with new models and figuring out how to utilize ourselves and our teams differently, we can stay on the curve. Ultimately, what this leads to back to you is that you yourself are a prime example of being multifaceted, multidimensional, and being a person that can play 5, 6, 7 different roles. You have a TV show with 7 million followers. You have a cooking show and you cook food, which is amazing. You have run multiple businesses. You have multiple incubators that you said, the minimum is 15,000 square meters. That's mind-blowing. You have to be able to look at everything from the top down and go and slice little pieces throughout it, or you're going to become obsolete. And I think that's the main lesson, the main message that I've been trying to get out to people here is don't quit. Don't look at the obstacle and quit.
Yeah.
But make yourself more useful.
Yeah, I think basically, the 2 points. The one point is that we still needed to use the educational system. It's basically that's provide a kind of fundamental support, and you gotta look. If you have a textbook, the textbook is basically a system. Is with like 16, 17 charters of it. When you finish the training, you understand what is it. So that's kind of what we call the fundamental help, but that's not enough. And the school and the university should give a more opportunity, let the young people, the kids will try to, get more space, interact with some new knowledge powerhouse. So the society side and also needed to provide more help. Where people will talk about philanthropical work, before it was more like doing education, environment protection, all this kind of stuff. But now I think that's also about how to build the bridge between the education and also society. So that's all. That's also my work in the past 10 years. We developed a young philanthropic project called Black Apple. That's basically we encourage the enterprises or the startup companies open more opportunity, let the students will come, or they work together to try to solve some social problems. So basically, it's not like close your door only at the campus of a university or the school and you study something. You needed to leave some time and space interact with the part of society, because the whole the technology community and the business develop so quicker. And if you cannot keep that connection, and you are harder for you to, you know, catch with development. So that's the one side. The second side is about a change of working culture. And before, as a senior and as someone experienced, you very naturally you are the mentor and you are the boss of the company. So you tell everybody what kind of things you need to do. But now, actually, the young generation, they're even more accessible to this new technology and a new IT, you know, new internet stuff. So in that sense, they got more resource sometimes. So in that case, of course, we can contribute some to this young generation, but at some times we need to really learn something from them. So in that case, we are like a very equally exchangeable partners.
Yeah.
And many times we must be very passionately work together with them. We treat us as a resource for them, and also treat them as a resource to us.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we are very much like a, really like a partner, and we develop the project. So that's why we see this new startup. It's not like before. The boss is boss, employee is employee. For this new startup, you always need to leave a percentage of the shares for the employees. Look, if you cannot do good enough, so then you become the shareholder of the company.
Yeah.
So that culture is not only culturally, but also financially, or at the government, the structure of the company. You give the chance that the good employees become the part of the team of the entrepreneurship, is a working good enough and to be a shareholder.
Yeah.
So that's the way that we come to a new stage, that in that way we can mobilize and unite. And all those good talents work together and achieve our goal.
Very, very well stated. Mm-hmm. Last thing I've got for you. This is just like a massive question. What is your hope or wish, being a fellow here in the U.S. and in Chicago, what is your hope with the Chinese and in Chicago or United States relations?
To be frankly, every time I come to United States every year, so it was 3 or 4 times, but each 5 years I will stop for a while in China side, and I find like a half or 1 year in United States. We try to learn something, and that is the way how to, you know, like I feel the power to me, and I continue my work and move forward. So that's really given me a very strong sense that American is a very important powerhouse of knowledge, and also is a very, very strong energy support for those innovative power all over the world. So that's the one thing. At the same time, you know, Chinese is very good at entrepreneurship. They are hard workers.
Yes.
They, no matter you are poor people or you are rich people, you see everybody want to work. They see the working as a key part, essence of the life.
I sometimes think I wish that U.S. would have fellowships in China so we could just learn the work ethic part of it, because that's something that I think is one place that we are lacking now. I think people have gotten a little too comfortable.
But of course, compare the American to many, you know, people of many other countries. American is already working hard,
yeah.
But Chinese even working more hard.
Yeah.
So that's why in that case we can work together. Something maybe American not really want to work on that, but we will work on that as a side. We can work together as a partnership to achieve many values. Nowadays, especially for young generation. And we do have the stronger gap, the value gap at the older generation. But I think the internet, all the new knowledge and the new culture provide the platform for young people that can exchange more and learn each other more. So as an investor, angel investor, I do want to see more this project, this entrepreneurship teams, either with Chinese and American, they're working together as a joint team. And we do see the good outcome, when I worked at United as a one team, we can generate even better and even high efficiency result. So in that sense, I want to say, if at a micro level, and people and young people can work together more, that help us to really substantially understand each other.
I want to see that as well. I certainly hope that next time you come back into town that you stop by the show and tell us what you've gained from this and what you've seen and heard back from those in China. And you've been to every country on the earth except for what, how many?
Yeah.
How many countries haven't you been? There's like, you've been to
121.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
So please do come back. Where do people in the U.S. follow you and where do people in China follow mm-hmm. you?
Okay.
Where can people on social media? Where can people?
Yeah, now we have now has a broadcasting as a live. That's actually live to China.
You have 7 million followers.
Yeah, that's one way.
Well, hello.
That's also we have the Weibo, China Twitter, and I have several other social media platforms. And they're different because some platform is like a very more comprehensive.
Yep.
Someone was very vertically targeted at like a professional or professors and a government people. So that's a way. I keep writing every day. I'm writing like a couple of articles and to them, but also I deliver the messages from all over the world. I am watching the world. You are watching me.
Well said. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. You can catch this episode and more on technori.com. If you want to learn more about Chicago tech, follow us at Facebook and Twitter @technori and follow me @Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.